Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up to the minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
All right, we love bringing you some great podcasts here on Roto Grinders, and we love talking to some of the winning players out there. So for this one, we're going to bring in a gentleman who I've had a chance to talk to in some live finals in the past, but thought he deserved his kind of own dedicated podcast here because he was the overall winner, or I guess you could say topped the leaderboard on our NHL rankings this year. And really doing pretty well in golf and all the sports. Number 10 overall. His Roto Grinders profile is low key, but you might know him on FanDuel as Three Putts. Over on DraftKings is I Stew Foot You. And his name is Rob, and he joins us here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Rob, how's it going? Thanks for your time tonight. How are you?
Good, Dan. How are you?
I'm excellent. Now, I want to give you some props here. First off, taking the top spot in the NHL leaderboard this year. You know, NHL is a sport which I still think has a fairly niche following, but I think people will hear in your voice, you're north of the border. You know, you're a Canadian. Tell me about your history in terms of fantasy golf in general. Did you play it before you got into daily? And how easy have the transition has it been for you to, I guess, succeed? Because obviously being number one overall is quite an achievement.
I mean, I think everybody that's into hockey up here has participated in some sort of season-long league. But I wasn't, I didn't play any league that were too serious, but I did play with some friends and whatnot, and was always following hockey in general. But as far as fantasy experience before that, I had some, but not a ton with hockey.
Do you remember how you found out about it? That, you know, what kind of, you know, was the moment where you came across FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever it may be? What drew you in first?
I don't remember my initial how I initially found it, but there was a lockout a few seasons ago in the NHL, and when they came back out of the lockout, I had this memory of somehow having a little bit of money on FanDuel. I must have seen, saw another ad or something for the site, and it spurred an old memory that I'd previously deposited, but not really played. I don't know how or why I did that, but after the lockout, I got back on there knowing I had a little bit of money on there and kind of gave it a serious try after that. I noticed there was people playing, nothing like there is now, but there was people playing, so I kind of joined in, and yeah, I was just into hockey at the beginning.
How popular is daily fantasy up in Canada? I don't know what part of Canada you live in, but, you know, obviously hockey is, you know, the big sport up there. Everybody plays it or everybody watches it. Everybody has their rooting interest. Is daily fantasy have a decent presence north of the border, or do you think it can even improve more than it already is?
I think it can get a lot better up here. There's not, I feel like there's not very many people know about it in terms of, I don't think we have quite the advertising that I see when I'm watching, you know, some of the American channels and whatnot. Actually, I don't know if they advertise really here anywhere at all. We get, during the NHL broadcast, you can see the DraftKings ads on the boards, and you see some of the FanDuel stuff on the NBA and whatnot, but I don't really see ads anywhere on our Canadian channels. So I think a lot of people still don't really know about it. My friends play, but
yeah, I was gonna say, have you had success converting your buddies to giving it a try?
Yeah, I definitely have quite a few friends that play, but still a lot of people that I would talk to or more acquaintances really have no clue about it, to be honest.
Now, you know, the game of hockey in terms of daily fantasy, does it parallel MLB for you? I mean, what game would you say hockey is most closely, related to for the average person who doesn't play it?
Baseball's a good one. Football is also similar. Obviously, it's nothing like the NBA with the back and forth, quick scoring. There's nothing like that really going on, but more the event-based sports, I guess, where a goal is equivalent to a touchdown or a home run or whatever. So I guess it matches up better with those types of games.
Seems like there's a lot of correlation plays, though, for hockey. Is that accurate?
There is, especially in tournaments. I mean, you get some negative correlation, too, with the plus-minus and whatnot on FanDuel. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot of that going on in hockey, for sure.
Would you
to take line mates and combine on goals, that sort of thing.
Would you say your cash game tournament, pretty good mix of both, and... You know, if you do play both, what would you say like the bankroll breakdown is for you, cash game to tournament? Because I know a lot of new players always, you know, wonder, you know, how the top flight players approach that, because it's a challenge for everybody in this industry managing their bankroll.
Yeah, hockey's a bit of a different one, just based on there's only so many contests you can enter per day, that sort of thing. So if your bankroll's fairly strong, you don't have to worry about it as much as say the NBA or NFL. There's like unlimited amounts of tournaments you can almost go in on the weekend. So if you're a bigger or medium bankroll player, it's not really something you need to worry about, I don't think, as much with tournament versus cash games in hockey. So it's not, I probably wouldn't be the best person to break down an exact ratio, because I'll generally just enter all the tournaments. I don't think too much about that myself for hockey.
Are you a multi-entry guy when it comes to tournaments? Do you play, you know, a handful? Do you go all in on it? How do you approach tournaments? Because a lot of people look at those differently.
Yeah, I mean, I probably am somewhere in the middle. Sometimes I will it's a secondary focus for me, especially for NHL. I'll spend a lot more time on my cash game stuff and then enter more of the more profitable or the bigger tournaments, I guess, more so first.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really, I mean, there's still a smaller size compared to the NBA, baseball, all that sort of stuff. So you're probably never going to get to the level of multi-entry that you could do in some of the other contests with hockey. But I definitely, when there is a bigger event, I will definitely multi-enter, if it makes sense. If it's, you know, a much larger field comparable to what we would see, I guess, in MLB or NBA or NFL, then yeah, I'm going to be multi-entering.
Okay, got to put you on the spot with this one. Who is the one guy in hockey, in NHL, that you don't really love playing head-to-head with? You know, maybe there's a guy that you don't pick up, he doesn't pick up yours, but when the auto match happens, you look at it and you're like, you know, we're swapping rake today. Who is that guy for you in NHL in terms of a DFS player?
They're probably the next guys in line on the Roto Grinders leaderboard, I would say. Any of those guys at the top are making pretty solid teams. So yeah, there's times when you feel like you're definitely just trading the rake around.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of maybe somebody that people wouldn't know as well, but it's a little hockey's a little bit in the rearview mirror right
now.
It is. Yeah, it's been a few months. But definitely any of those guys that are at the top, KKN and Bird Wings, CSU Ram, are all going to have pretty solid teams each day. Bill's fan, one of your Roto Grinders guys, I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
FC as well. They both make solid teams.
Absolutely. Now, what about the game itself? I mean, is there anything that the sites can do in terms of the gameplay? Not the marketing. I mean, that's a different animal. But in terms of the game setup that would improve the product, is there anything that you'd like to see added, taken away? What's your thoughts on the way the game is set up?
Overall, I think it's pretty good. I know people complain constantly about the plus minus on FanDuel and penalty minutes. I'm kind of on the fence with it. If it's just, it's in the scoring system, everybody knows there's ways to probably use it or ignore it. And it's just kind of one of those maybe luck-based things to go back and forth with the penalty minutes, plus mm-hmm. minus. There's obviously, I think, ways to take advantage of that to get on the right side of it. But yeah, so that doesn't bother me as much as people complain about that. And I kind of like that there's differences in the scoring, excuse me, between DraftKings and FanDuel.
Yeah.
So to me, the contest structure and whatnot doesn't bug me as much, or I don't see as much room for improvement with the actual scoring. But I guess some of the positional eligibility and the salary cap stuff, they could have definitely been there's room for improvement there from the site's end, for sure.
We're joined by Well, we're joined by RG user Loki. He's goes by 3Putts on FanDuel. I'm sure you're seeing him. He plays lots of contests across multiple sports. In fact, second in PGA right now. I didn't even realize you were a golf guy. Talk about the emergence of golf in daily fantasy. I mean, we're talking million-dollar winners, and, you know, I think just this week on DraftKings, you got $100K to first place in a $3 tournament. Have you always been into golf? Is this just a recent thing in the last year? Give me the update on PGA, because you're dominating that sport pretty well right now, too.
I play a lot of golf. I love golf. And I love daily fantasy, so it makes sense that I would be interested in playing that. But as far as fantasy golf experience, I have very little. But, I mean, I'm familiar with the key golf statistics and player types and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, it wasn't a very hard transition to start playing daily fantasy golf.
Well, 3Putts, you know, I see the name. Yeah. What's the context of this? You say you love golf. Are you, like, borderline, like, scratch player? Like, what's your history with golf?
Yeah, I've gotten down into the low single digits or scratch at times. I'm pretty bad right now, and I'd like to blame Daily Fantasy for that. The early season baseball and sitting on my computer playing Daily Fantasy instead of, out working on my chipping and putting and the rest of my golf game. So that's it's probably actually affected my handicap negatively. The 3Putts is definitely, that's why I chose the name at the time, just a bit of a golf reference.
Now, are you somebody who does daily fantasy full-time? Because people always are curious about, you know, to get in the mind of those type of people, what life is as a full-time daily fantasy player. Is that your main vocation right now?
Yeah.
What is it, though? I mean, what are the swings like? I mean, a lot of us who play casually for entertainment, you do it in a sense of like, hey, I love sports. It gives me a reason to watch the games tonight. If I win some money, great. I'd say maybe like 80% of the people or more are like that. Does it ever take away from the game itself because you approach it as a job as opposed to a hobby or entertainment?
Yeah, it probably does to some extent. I probably would actually, I mean, I love it and it's fun to win, but yeah, I mean, when you risk more money and you have a day where you lose more money, I'm sure it's not quite entertainment at that point. So yeah, I mean, there's some negatives that go along with it, but for the most part, none of us would be doing it full time if it wasn't going better. If it wasn't more on the good side than the bad, I guess. So. Yeah,
absolutely.
I wouldn't really trade it for much at this point.
What do you tell people who, you know, you meet in casual conversations, you know, wherever? They say, what do you do for a living? Do you tell them you're a fantasy player, and do they give you dirty looks like, what are you talking about? Because I still struggle with that, especially from the fantasy broadcaster side of things. People don't quite get that. But how do you answer that question, and is it, you know, do you get those odd, like, what are you talking about type of reactions sometimes?
Oh, definitely. A little bit of that. I mean, people that have known me for, a period of time know that I've been pretty active in poker and sports betting. And so it doesn't surprise them. But, you know, somebody new that I meet and they ask what you do for a living or whatever. I don't love the question, but when you get into it, you get some funny reactions. I usually try to avoid the question, to be honest. Not avoid it, but it's not my favorite subject just because it's a little awkward at times with certain people, but not really in a negative way. I don't even know how to describe it. You definitely get some of those funny looks and some of those funny questions. And, I mean, a lot of people are just think it's cool, right? So it definitely is a conversation starter or, you know, it's something that you're going to be talking about for a while, a lot of the time when you bring it up.
Take me through your average day real quick. You know, you wake up, obviously games usually don't start early unless you're golf, of course. Then they've, you know, got the Thursday morning, better get your teams in. But how much time are you putting in on a day, both researching and maybe just entering, editing games? Like, give me a ballpark on the time that you're putting in every day as a full-time daily fantasy player.
I generally try to enter contests the night before. So. Okay. Just to get some games set up, which I think a lot of players do, just get some overnight stuff set up. So probably maybe half an hour in the evening, depending on how many sites you're playing or how many games you want to enter. And then in the morning, more of the lineup building process and a lot of entering contests. I mean, it's baseball or football. You can almost be entering them nonstop. So there's definitely, that's taking up probably too much time in a way, mm-hmm. just entering games. So on the busier baseball days, I mean, yeah, you can be doing a lot of entering contests and building new lineups for tournaments. So you can pretty much be at it all day. I try to, during the hockey season, I try to, on the slower nights, I kind of just take the day off a lot of the time when there's two, three games, something like that, just because it can be a bit of a grind at times. And so I definitely slow down on some of the slower nights just to kind of stay sane and do other things. But yeah, you can be at it more hours than a full-time job, I would say.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm looking at your ranking here. NFL 41, MLB 18, NBA 188, NHL 1, PGA 2. How do you play so many sports? I mean, NHL, I mean, 188 is not bad on NBA. Are you really playing NBA and NHL together simultaneously? I have to imagine that would actually be very tough to do.
Yeah, I try not to really do that. I tried a couple times last year on sort of medium-sized NHL days. And there's just too many late things going on in the NBA to worry about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's hard to do both well. So I basically don't even really play NBA. I don't know how I'm even ranked 188, to be honest. I did play some of the days, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how exactly I would even be ranked that high, to be honest. I don't play very much.
Talk about like the sweating of the games. Is that something that you do? Because I've talked to a lot of players who don't sweat them at all. They build their lineups. They wake up in the morning. They check their ROI and call it a night. There's other people who basically on the edge of their seats watching these games nightly, following closely, tracking it, you know, every step of the way. Where do you fall in terms of somebody who sweats daily fantasy contests?
Probably somewhere in the middle. I usually know roughly what's going on, but I don't dig. I usually check like opponents' lineups for some of my bigger games, and at the beginning, just out of curiosity, I like to see who people played right off the start. So I definitely, you know, after lineups lock, I'll spend half an hour, 20 minutes, maybe less, just kind of checking out some lineups and seeing the percentages in tournaments and stuff. And then after that, I'll probably casually check throughout the evening, maybe watch a game mm-hmm. at times. But not, and then on maybe on some of the busier nights where I have some free time, I'll watch a bunch of games for an hour or so, just get a bunch up on the computer and watch for an hour. But I don't spend too much time watching, but I do spend some. I always look in on the busier nights, but I don't watch nonstop.
Now, I remember last season you qualified for the FanDuel Baseball Championship out in Vegas. Great time out there. I remember you brought a plus one. So are you married, girlfriend? What's the situation there?
Getting married in October.
Okay, that's good, because I want to know what it's like, you know, to have the significant other. Like, what is her, how does she follow what you do? Is she ever ask you, like, so who are we rooting for tonight, honey? I mean, does she ever show interest in that side of thing, or is this just, you know, your deal? And she doesn't really care, because I do remember her very, very vividly from that event. She was having a great time. She was, she was getting along with everybody. So I'm kind of curious about her, you know, feelings about, you know, following what you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, looping back to one of your other questions, when I get asked what I do, we usually just look at each other and smile, and then I always try to defer to her because that's just what I like to do with that question. But
sure.
She usually tells me to go ahead and answer. But anyways, yeah, she knows what's going on some of the time, and other times she doesn't ask. So she'll usually ask each day, like, how did it go or whatever, but she's not asking me too many specific questions about who we're rooting for. But, you know, once things get tight, I'll usually tell her. So she's involved to some extent. If there's, you know, if I'm sweating a big game or a big tournament win, I'll usually tell her just to kind of share in the excitement.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
No, I think that's one of the things I love to do too. I mean, and plus it gives them kind of the excitement that you get to feel a little bit, especially if it's a big score or something like that. It gives, half the time my wife doesn't believe me. She'll just say, like, don't get your hopes up. And then it'll come down to, you know, a last second putt or a free throw or something like that. And she sees me freaking out and she kind of starts laughing at me. And I was like, do you want a new pair of shoes? Do you want that? Do you want to go on a vacation? Because we can make that happen here. But, well,
exactly.
Congratulations on the upcoming marriage. That's great stuff. Now, final thoughts. You know, MLB season is going on as we speak. And like you said, you were pretty prominent in NFL. I know you qualified for, you know, both the Playboy Mansions in a couple of those sports. What's your ultimate goal? Like, I mean, you know, obviously grinding daily fantasy, is this something that you expect yourself to be doing for quite some time? And a two-parter, you know, you did mention a little poker and sports betting experience. How does daily fantasy, you know, from an ROI perspective compare to those? Are you more profitable in daily fantasy than you were in those two other ventures?
So I was definitely, I had some success at different times with different sports betting and poker elements, but I would say this past hockey season for me, the volume increased substantially over the previous season. So I would say my best season in anything was this particular hockey season for daily fantasy. And the first part of the question again was?
I'm already forgetting my own question. That can't be good. Your ultimate goals. Do you see yourself doing this for, you know, the next 5, potentially 10 years? I mean, what's your kind of thoughts on the industry as a whole as we move forward?
Yeah, that's something I don't really know where, obviously nobody really knows where it's going, but I'd love to ask, you know, other top players, other industry people, like yourself, I wish somebody, you know, had the answer. What are we going to see this season, next season, the year after, you know? And so I guess in terms of daily fantasy goals, I definitely want to continue playing and being successful, but it's really, I mean, things change so fast in these types of, with these types of games and industries and stuff. It's hard to think too far ahead in terms of ultimate goals, but yeah, in general, I'd love to still be playing in a few years.
Yeah, well, you're well on your way to establishing yourself as one of the preeminent players out there. You know, getting to the top 10 of the overall rankings is really, really hard to do. 27th in TPOY right now as well. So, Rob, appreciate you jumping in. Sure, we'll cross paths at more live finals over the years. And much kudos to you, you know, being number one in NHL. That is a big accomplishment. And we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. He is Loki.
And Sheena says hi, too.
Oh, tell her I said hi. We love. I told you, she was the life of the party. She was a great time. Now,
yeah,
I think
wants me to qualify for the live events more than I want to qualify myself.
Exactly. You know, it's funny because you don't always remember the plus ones, but I remembered yours. So there you go. That should say something.
I'll pass that along.
Awesome. Well, that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. Thanks you so much to Loki, Rob, joining us. And stay tuned. More great podcasts coming here at the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix on rotogrinders.com. See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up to the minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter @RotoGrinders.